Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
It is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. This is another edition of Baseball Today. That is my man, Trevor Poop. I am Chris Rose, producer Dan, along for the ride as well, as I am in a different city. So that's 3 days this week, three different cities around the state of California. And I don't know, do you like my artwork everywhere I go?
I do. I actually like who you're with better than that. You brought your beautiful bride, Michelle, on camera before the show. We actually got a little heated before the show, too.
Yes, we did.
It might be a testy episode today, people.
I like that.
Rose locking horns like two stags out in a wild field somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to definitely lose that at least 11 times out of 10. Let's get to it, even though I'm not wearing a baseball hat because I showered and did my hair because we're
somewhere special. That is a little weird.
Today. Yeah,
it's a little weird, C. Rose.
I'm going to give a tip of the cap to Cubs fans who propelled one of the stars of the team to do something great. Listen to this.
And they chant for Cody. High fly ball, right field, on its way. And Belly Answer is off the scoreboard.
I got to tell you, that was pretty damn cool, right? To hear him chanting his name and then he hits one off the freaking board.
I mean, what do we talk about all the time? Confidence is king in the box, dude. And you got the whole freaking crowd chanting your name. Like, what else is going to give you more confidence than that? So I love it. I think, hey, crowds, like, you got more influence than you think. I would say that to them.
So maybe Abisail Garcia needs to send that clip to every Marlins fan. And then we could turn things around, maybe get them in the win column. Just a thought.
I guarantee if they started chanting his name, he'd feel pretty good in the box. I don't know if it's going to, you know, turn into a homer, but the confidence would skyrocket.
Speaking of a guy who feels pretty good in the box today, as opposed to yesterday at this time, Bryce Harper. He started out the year hitless before Thursday's game against the Cincinnati Reds. And then he did not one, not two, but three things pretty special.
Lefty on lefty.
Yeah.
It's hooked deep to right center field. No doubt about it. A three-homer game. He caps it off with a grand slam. What a night to beat Bryce Harper. Two solo home runs, a grand slam, and the Phillies lead it 8-1.
I love Tom McCarthy. Love him. But isn't every night a great night to be Bryce Harper? Let's just be honest here.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. But you know what, Bryce? You're no Scooter Jeanette.
Ha!
Four homer game.
That's funny. So the question I've got is, this is the start of year six for Harper in Philly. He played seven seasons in Washington. What has been the more fun version of Harper to watch?
It's actually a really good question, Heroes. Sometimes I get on you about your questions.
Yes,
this one
do.
Was a really good one. And you're going to hate my answer. I think they're both just, there's two separate things. I think they're not even really comparable, to be honest with you, because Bryce in Washington was this like young guy. I felt like he had really had a chip on his shoulder, which is crazy to think because the guy's been lauded as the savior of baseball since he's like been 14 years old and he's done everything right. So like the chip shouldn't really be there, but that's how he plays. And especially when he was young, like, I think he got questioned a lot about, like, you know, by the veterans on his team and, you know, people like some, like, I feel like he was almost more of like villainous when he was younger, which is kind of strange to say, but he had some incredible years there. So we're talking about the player. I think he's kind of like been like the same guy, but as far as like character and the way he's viewed throughout the league, it's been different. I really like that version of Bryce, the young guy, you know, flipping his helmet off in his first triple in Dodger Stadium. You know, MVP season there. He one-dotted it a few times. Like, I think he really felt like at that point he still had a lot to prove. And that's really fun to watch a guy as talented as Bryce feel like he has a lot to prove. So I like that version of him. I think I like the Phillies version better because he's more mature. He's very confident in his skin. And he's just bought into this franchise way more than I think he ever really bought into the Nationals franchise. And I know maybe Nationals fans don't want to hear that. And I know it's not like he wasn't bought in there, but he chose to go to Philadelphia. He didn't choose to go to the Nationals. He got drafted by them. I'm sure he loved his time there. But Philly is somewhere that he said, I'm there, no opt-outs, baby. And we've seen like a different type of guy. Like, I feel like, whereas before he was trying to prove himself, he's not doing that anymore. He's the guy there, the leader of that clubhouse. He's like ingrained himself in the city. So to answer your question, what was the question? More fun to watch?
Yeah, more fun to watch. But I think you nailed it.
I think it's Philly. If I had to give an answer, I like both versions. They're so different. I think Philly Bryce is more fun to watch. I think he's having more fun.
I think so, too. I think the first part was really hard. And we've talked about this with Bryce Harper, that he's one of literally a handful of athletes, LeBron, Tiger, guys who we have been in the social conscience since they were a teenager and actually lived up to the billing. It is so hard to make it at any level, whether you're a guy who's receiving front billing or you're just a dude. And he's done it remarkably well. But I do think he was trying to figure out exactly who he was in Washington. And I don't know if you had heard this, but I had heard that he didn't get great mentorship there. That maybe he thought he was, but he wasn't. And I don't blame him one bit at all for that. Because you never know who to gravitate toward. He got up here at 19 years old. I do think that he is just comfortable with who he is in Philadelphia. And that has made it really, really fun for us to watch. Although Washington Bryce was incredible. Just the enthusiasm he would play with. Like, he just seemed to play at a different speed, that violent swing, the whole bit. I am curious, if we had taken a national poll of popularity, Bryce Harper during the Nationals years, as opposed to now in Philly.
Philly.
I wouldn't even think it's close.
It's not even close. You know what? Harold Reynolds, my guy, had a really good point on this yesterday. I was watching MLB Network, and he said, when Bryce is in the outfield or was in the outfield, there were times where he wouldn't be on the screen except when he was at bat. And now at first base, he's involved in a lot more plays. He's a lot more screen time for Bryce Harper. I thought that was a really good point. I've never really thought about it like that. They mentioned like when he went to the playoffs, whatever year it was, he had 6 balls hit to him in 5 games. So, like, you're only seeing Bryce for that amount of time. And now all of a sudden we're seeing him when guys get on base, catching the throw. Like, people are seeing Bryce more now. I think that's going to lead to being even more popular. But I totally agree with, I think in Philly, I think he's like a university-like baseball player.
I think so, unless
you're a fan of the Braves or the Mets or something like that. Maybe you have a little disdain for what he does to your team. But I think you still really, really respect the guy.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that he has the respect of everybody, because it's not like he doesn't have any antics. Like, he just plays his ass off.
He's being the right way, man.
He does, and he is ferocious when he's at the plate.
Here's what everyone says about him, or you better think this. You'd want him on your team. I know Jake's mentioned that as Yankee fans. Like, you know, they had a shot to get him.
Yep. Didn't quite work out there. Mookie Betts is a guy that every team would want. There's no question about that. He continues to rock. Leads the league with 5 homers. Took my guy Logan Webb deep last night. He is just sick. And he's doing this all while switching positions at the age of 32. Now, you mentioned it because you picked him to be your preseason MVP. You said, guys, like, pay attention to this. Do you think not enough people are, in terms of the positional move and the fact that he hasn't lost any ability at the plate?
I think there is a little bit like Mookie fatigue. Like, he's just been good for so long that people just expect him to be good. So when he's putting out numbers like this, like, oh yeah, that's Mookie Betts. He's one of the best players in baseball. I do think more people should pay attention to the fact that he moved to shortstop. I mean, I've talked so much about that already and how difficult it is. I did see him and Miggy Rowe taking ground balls together. And I mentioned this on Talking Baseball. The footwork difference between those two guys was leaps and bounds. Miggy Rowe's footwork at shortstop is incredible, and it just looked different than Mookie. And Mookie has, I think, a ways to go in that regard. But the fact that he's working on it with a guy like Miggy Rowe, like, this guy could end up being like a really, really good defender at shortstop. And like, just thinking about that, like, if we were to go back in time, Rose, 2017, and I was to tell you, hey, Mookie's going to be on the Dodgers playing shortstop in the year 2024, you'd be like, shut up.
Right.
And here he is. So, yeah, I think more people should be talking about it. It's incredible what he's doing.
Yeah, there was a really good column in The Athletic talking about what he does on a daily basis to get himself ready. And I did mention that, you know, it's hard to believe he's 32 years old. It's pretty amazing. And I know we're, what, a week into the season, but there is a real, there's a real possibility that you're going to be right on this and that he's going to be an MVP and be an MVP in both leagues, which hasn't happened very much. It's even more rare to have people win an MVP at multiple positions. It just doesn't happen. You had Hank Greenberg, who won it at first base and then in left field. So that's making the move from the infield to the outfield. Stan Musial did the opposite. He moved from right field to first base. Robin Yount started out as a shortstop. He moved to center field, both grueling positions, but he couldn't do shortstop anymore because of shoulder issues. And then A-Rod just slid from shortstop to third. So those are the four people that have won MVP at multiple positions. But nobody, certainly in their 30s, is making a move from the outfield where you were a gold glover year after year and one of the best, in my opinion, to ever do it out there, to the toughest position on the diamond. Nobody's doing it. And to have zero carryover, because I've talked to countless guys when they are struggling in the defensively, they bring it to the plate sometimes. And this guy, it's like the opposite. It's fueled him.
Dude, that homer he hit off your boy Logan, or our boy Logan. I like Logan.
Yeah, you're
well.
Into
a sinker down in the zone like that. I think it was going to be a ball. It wasn't even a strike, and he went down and got it. That's so impressive, dude. The guy is just impressive, people. You know what he did after he was out there early taking ground balls with Mickey Rowe? He signed everybody's autograph that was out there on the field.
They signed
made
yours?
Time for it. Hey, did I get you? Did I get you? Like, I was blown away by how personable he was with the fans after getting his early work in. Like, that's so daunting to be, you know, a guy like him, a face of the franchise. Look, I know he's compensated very well for what he does, but to be able to give your time like that on a day in, day out basis is something that I think a lot of fans understand. Like, not a lot of guys do that. Mookie's one of them.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of the city of Los Angeles, once again, quick reminder, just over a week, Baseball Today is coming to you live for the first time ever. The two of us will be down at Boomtown Brewery. That's the venue where we had our All-Star Gala there a couple of years ago. We will be down there Friday, April 12th. It's before the Padres and Dodgers game. The VIP tickets, unfortunately, those are sold out, but general admission tickets are still available. That starts at 5 o'clock. So you come in, you're going to listen to our first ever live show. We've got a Q&A. You can get pictures with us if you want that sort of stuff. It's great. On top of that, if you plan on going to the game, there's a free Dodger Stadium Express shuttle. It's within a walking distance of Boomtown Brewery. So if you're going to the venue, no problem. Tickets can be purchased at shop.johnboymedia.com. We certainly hope to see you there. Go out and make this thing big, because if we have a successful turnout, then we will take it around the country. And that's something we definitely want to do, because we want to be able to mingle with the fans. That's the best part of our gig.
I can't wait for this. I'm so excited. I love the live events. I love when you and I get together. And I also like drinking beer.
Yeah, I know you
do. It's like a win-win-win.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of win-win-win, that's all Shane Bieber's been doing in two starts. Last night, head-to-head against Luis Castillo out in Seattle, and Bieber did it again. Six shutout innings, nine more strikeouts. So if you're keeping tally so far this year, in his two starts, 20 strikeouts and only one walk to go along with two wins for the Guardians. I think he was probably one of the bigger storylines coming into this season because of the trade talk over the last year, and then people saying, well, he wasn't healthy. Is Shane Bieber back to being Shane Bieber? Are you willing to say that and stamp it?
I mean, two starts in, yes. And the reason I think you can kind of say it is he has made some meaningful adjustments over last year. What were his numbers last year? I'm getting them up right now.
Not good. First of all, he made a ton of starts.
Yeah, 3-8. He made 21 starts. To his standards, that's not very good. A lot of people were like that year, to be honest with you. But one thing that bit him last year was lefties. They hit him hard last year. So what can you do to combat that? Well, you can change your arsenal up a little bit. And he did go to – he was a driveline guy this offseason. He wanted to get the velo back up, which I think it's ticked up a whole mile an hour, which is nice to see early on in the season. I know he's pitching some cold weather too, so maybe we'll tick up a little bit more as the season goes on. But then I think the big thing was he changed like his changeup grip and how he threw his changeup. And if you're having troubles against lefties, that's kind of the equalizer pitch as a right-handed hit pitcher. So he's throwing that a little bit more. He's throwing a little bit differently. He's bringing the cutter in on their hand. So when a guy like Shane Bieber, who's like, you know, the definition of a pitcher, like you, there's just certain guys that are pitchers. Zach Gallen's a pitcher. Shane Bieber is a pitcher. Mm-hmm. They have stuff. They're not going to blow you away with their velocity and their, you know, their raw stuff, but they locate and they understand how to sequence. He's one of those guys. When he starts making meaningful adjustments like that and is able to utilize them and kind of locate him wherever he wants, then yeah, I mean, he's going to be better against those lefties this year. So his numbers are going to be better. So I just think he put the work into the offseason. He knows it's a walk year. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if we saw one of the better years of his career this year, as the focus is all there, as the adjustments that he's made, it's seeming like it's going to happen for him this year.
Well, Austin Hedges, who of course is a co-host on the Chris Rose Rotation, his latest episode is out this week, and we spent a lot of time talking about Shane Bieber because he's now caught both of his starts. And he said he's going to be an even better version of Shane Bieber than the one that won the Cy Young Award. He said that it's that changeup that he's been working. It's just got a totally different movement on it. And you were talking about it being the great equalizer. So he kind of take us through the whole mechanics of what he's seeing behind the plate. So it's kind of a fascinating discussion. If you are either just a baseball fan who loves good pitching, if you're a Guardians fan, or, yes, I hate to say this because it breaks my heart, he's going to be back on the trade block if things go the wrong direction for the Guardians. And he might be the most sought-after player. I'm not just talking about pitcher. I'm talking about player during the trade deadline. You're going to want to find out what could take him to a different level. For me, just watching so many of his starts throughout his entire career, basically all of them, he became one of the better strikeout pitchers in this league, right? In 2019, when he won the All-Star Game MVP, he was up over 11 Ks per nine. The next year in the shortened season where he won the Cy Young, over 14 Ks per nine. Still in double digits the next year. Then it started to go down and down. And last year, 7.5 strikeouts per nine innings. He just wasn't getting guys out. And you know, when you put barrel on the ball, things are going to happen. And even if you just put it in play and you don't barrel it up, things are going to happen against you. So that has been the difference maker, is that he's gotten more swing and miss. He's getting guys called looking a ton. And yeah, I think he's back to being Shane Bieber. And that's exciting for me. For right now, I just hope the rest of the team can live up to it so we can see him play throughout the entire season. That's what I would say.
He's a star.
All right, let's move on here. Bigger deal. The Brewers improving to 4-0 without their closer and their revamped starting rotation. Or Houston's pen continues to struggle. Josh Hader giving it up last night with two outs in the ninth to David Schneider. Two-run shot. The Jays beat the Astros.
I was watching that one live. I think he walked Turner on like five pitches to get the Schneider, and Schneider just pumped him, man. That's a big boy homer, too. It is interesting to me about the Astros and their bullpen and the homers they've given up, and specifically the guys that have given them up. But I'm going to go with the Brewers on this one. I think a lot of people overlooked them coming into the season. I believe their DraftKings win total was like at 74 or 76, so sub 500 for a team that just really never does that. Go back and look what they've done. I believe since they've been one of the more winningest teams in the National League over the last decade. So, like, this team just wins ballgames. The way they've been doing it, I think, is a pretty sustainable way, to be honest with you. I mean, it's the core guys kind of getting it done. Yelich is having a good start to the season. They bring in Reese Hoskins to pair with Yelly in the middle of that order. Obviously, he's had a great start to the season. Jackson Chourio, who they've gave that contract to, he's had a nice start. And then in the bullpen, like, they've been able to just get pitching, Chris. Like, I know you want Devin Williams back there, but you got Abner Uribe throwing 100-mile-an-hour bowling ball sinkers up there. Yeah. Like, you're going to have a good chance. And so the bullpen's been there. They're playing really good defense. Bryce Terang, like, honestly, he's, like, kind of one of my favorite players to watch right now. Because he's crushing the ball. He's always been able to play a little bit of defense and run. I think he's got six stolen bases already. So, like, they're getting these contributions from guys that they thought they were going to get last year, but they're getting them this year. And that's kind of what it takes. Like, if you want to be a winning team, those guys, the freshman last year, sophomore season, they got to get it going a little bit. You got to have Yelly doing it. You paid Reese to get it going and to do it in the middle of your lineup, and he's doing it. So, like, this was the plan kind of all along. This is what they wanted to look like. And I think it's got to be really refreshing and, like, almost like a relief if you're in the Brewers front office, being like, okay, we were right about this team. We did like our guys, and we know we can get by. We traded Corbin Burns, but we got a nice haul back in return.
Cute.
You like that one?
Cute.
So, yeah, they're feeling good, man. And the Brewers 4-0 and the Pirates undefeated and the Tigers undefeated. Like, it's kind of got me fired up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's great. I did not pick them to win the division, did not pick them to make the playoffs. I love it when Milwaukee's good. I just feel good when their fan base is happy. I wish I was kind of home today and hadn't showered yet and done my hair, because then I could wear the really cool Brew Crew batting practice hat that I love. So I want to get that out there. So Brewers do something good over the next week when I'm home instead of on the road doing this show. I'm not going to say I'm concerned about the Astros, but it is funky the way that they have only one win. Like, it's fine to go out slow. But what is it we talked about the minute they signed Josh Hader? This is the second time this week I've mentioned it on the show. You better be leading by the seventh inning or it's over. And so far, Abreu, Presley, and now Hader has two losses. So they have four of their five losses. That three-headed monster that was supposed to just slam the door shut is the one kicking it open for other teams. I'm sure things are going to be fine, but man, it is just a weird thing. And yes, the games in early April count just the same as the ones in September. And if we're going to have a three-team race, like we think so, between Houston, Texas, and Seattle, then yeah, like, it sucks to be one out away. Those losses hurt. Those are like two losses in one.
Yeah, you at the end of the game there, Vladdy starts with a single. Bichette hits into a double play. You're sitting there feeling good about it. JT works a great at bat. He's had horrible numbers against here. I believe he was 0-for-10 with five strikeouts right before that at bat. And then Schneider bombs him. Go Schneider, man. Yeah. Hey, maybe you got to give credit to the guys hitting the homers.
Totally. And by the way, especially if you're going to rock that sort of stash. I mean, that one, I think it's the best one going in the sport, don't you?
I like it. Dude, I think that one on the train tracks in left center. I heard it hit something. I don't know.
Yeah, there was a good angle. There was a really good angle. I think it was either from like right center or something that showed just how high up the whole wall it went. It's pretty impressive.
That's fun to hit homers there, dude.
So I spent a lot of time, speaking of mustaches, on the drive up here yesterday. It was about 3 hours. And look, you know, you look in the rearview mirror. And my mustache is obviously significantly darker than the rest of my beard. And I was like, do I go mustache one time?
No.
No? No.
Just Michelle? Stop the conversation. No.
Not listening.
I love that. She goes, no, what? I'm not listening. Of course. Thank you. Should I go just mustache at some point?
No.
No. Oh, man. She almost gave me, I'm going to go call the divorce attorney.
I told you. I know Michelle. She does not want that.
She loves the beard, but the mustache is it. All right. No go. Just thinking about it. Speaking before we go to our fifth question, a word from DraftKings.
It is officially time for fans to head to the ballpark and root for their home team as the baseball season gets underway. You got to get in on the action early this season with our partners at DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, all new customers who bet $5 will get $150 in bonus bets instantly. And you got to use our code baseball today. That's one word, baseball today. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Like I said, new customers, use our code baseball today. All you have to do is bet $5 on any wager and you'll get $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's promo code baseball today only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Eligibility restrictions apply. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, valid one per new customer. Minimum $5 deposit, minimum $5 bet, $150 issued as bonus bets that expire 7 days after being awarded. Bonus bets must be wagered one time before any resulting cash winnings can be withdrawn, and stake is not included in winnings. Ends April 14th, 2024 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. Sponsored by DraftKings. See terms at dkng.co/base.
Okay, while I was away, I was reading a little bit of the chat, and Muttley in Love was talking about the mustache. And he said, no, Chris, your face is already a mess.
Oh, my God.
That was hurtful. That was hurtful. Michelle, somebody called me ugly. No, yeah, she's not. Look, Muttley, you better not run into Mrs. Rose. Not happy with you right now.
You got a great personality.
I've got a great personality. So she said she would not marry an ugly man. That's right. Back in the day, I was hot. It was at least a 7 out of 10.
A spiked pair. Oh, yeah. Man.
Now, these days, I apologize to her 3 out of 5 days during the week, Monday through Friday, when I wake up and she has to look at me. I'm sorry. I can't keep up with her. All right. Anyway, before we close out, there was this note that was floating around social media last night, found at the Coliseum where the A's play. It was a handout sheet prior to the A's game against Boston. Among the detail list for employees to follow was, quote, if you see anything that says rooted in Oakland, it must be taken down immediately. And then something else that said, try not to highlight any product that says Oakland. If this is indeed a real thing, how much does it bother you?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I need to make sure this is a real thing. You know, we bash the A's a lot, and they do some silly stuff. And where they're at with their fan base in Oakland right now is it's not a good place to be. I don't know if it's real. If it is a real thing, it's just silly. There's other conspiracies out there, Chris. We got tagged in one on X. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
What?
There's a conspiracy. I'm going to get it up right now.
Okay. Okay. Let's do it.
And again, a conspiracy. I just got tagged this on X. The Last Dive Bar is an online store. They kind of did the fan fest, and they have merch, and most of their merch is surrounding, you know, selling the team, like keep the A's in Oakland.
Right.
There's pictures of four guys wearing their bracelet.
Right. Their bracelets like these.
Yes. Just like that. The guys that have worn them are Esteori Ruiz, who got demoted because he needs to work on his things in the minor leagues instead of on their big league team, which they don't care about winning right now. It's more about development. He should be there. Christian Pache got traded. James Caprielian got released.
Caprielian.
I know that guy. He's like my buddy. I don't know why I didn't say that right. And then Brent Rooker, did he get benched? That's what this thing says. So, like, there are some conspiracies out there. And, you know, the ownership and front office, like, they want the brand to feel good. And that thing is dirty right now. It is not shining. So they're doing, right. If this is true, they're doing whatever they can to keep the brand shiny. They're doing a very poor job of it, Chris, in my opinion.
Yeah. By the way, it doesn't even make sense. Like, let's just say this thing is real and it got put out there.
Oh, wait. The pictures are apparently from the A's Twitter account. That's where they got them from.
But that's not the first place I saw. It doesn't mean that it wasn't.
It's no, I'm saying this tweet right here.
Yeah.
These pictures they're showing apparently were posted on the A's Twitter account. It has the Last Dive Bar on their wrist.
Ah, got it. Okay. I don't know what to make out of all this stuff. I feel terribly about what's going on up there. That part of this whole thing is not going to change. If you were to ask anybody in the front office of the A's or ownership, they're moving. They're moving to Las Vegas, and that's that. And it's just a big old mess. And we don't know where they're going to play the next 3 years after this. They're not going to be able to play in Las Vegas. It's going to be too damn hot in that minor league stadium. I don't know if it's Sacramento. I don't know if it's Salt Lake. I don't know. Who knows? But this is just, it's going to keep getting uglier before it eventually solves itself.
And they're going to lose a lot of ball games. I know that.
Oh, my God. Are they going to lose a lot of ball games? Hey, I don't think they made any errors last night.
And now, you know, the thing that, you know, they probably want to lose ball games, get higher draft picks, but now there's a lottery, so they're not even guaranteed, like, the first picks and stuff like that. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's just I even kind of regret putting that story in there, but it's just – I didn't know what to make of it. I saw that thing last night. I was like, okay, interesting. All right, we are back at it again on Thursday. I think we're going to go early. We're probably going to go 10:30 Eastern, so if you want to join us live in the chat – and make fun of how ugly at least half of the co-hosts are, feel free to come back and do that. I can take it. I'm a big boy. I know I haven't aged well.
You are a big boy.
Happens. I still have a great personality, Michelle.
Yeah, and a smoking hot wife, so good for you.
She laughed at that. Okay, so for our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the uber-talented Trevor Plouffe, I am the 4 out of 10 Chris Rose. We will see you Thursday at 10:30 Eastern on Baseball Today.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.